chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17. Read verse 14. I'm going to start there, and I'll read down to verse 21. And we want to look at something specific starting tonight and see how God can help us grow in this area. We're in verse number 14 in Matthew 17. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to read down to verse 21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, perverse, and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The verse we want to focus on here tonight is verse number 20, where Jesus said, the reason of this not, you guys not being able to handle this is because of your unbelief. And then he shares, how much belief do we have to have? He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. How many have ever seen a mustard seed? Very small. They say it's about the size of an O on a printed page, smaller than that in some regards. And obviously, it does not look like anything that is very powerful. But God used this as his illustration. Now, mustard trees have been found in locations throughout the world. They can grow in just about any climate, is what I have read. A single mustard seed can grow into a tree up to 20 feet tall with branches spreading up to 20 feet wide. There's one right there. Yeah, I can barely see that. Yeah. The top producers in America, this was interesting, Montana, Washington, North Dakota, Idaho, and Oregon. That's where they grow the most of the producing mustard plants, I guess. That's where we get it. The question tonight, and as we continue on here, not next week. We will not meet next week on a Wednesday night. We will have vacation Bible school. So we will have Bible study the week after that. But you're welcome to join us on the Thursday night. In fact, I encourage if you can come, the Thursday night is the family night, the family fun fair night. And the more people we have, the more, I don't know if it's more comfortable or just more open that people are, that they can come. So if you can, join us next Thursday next week for that particular night. But the mustard seed, here God says, you guys couldn't accomplish this when all you needed was the faith the size of a mustard seed. So what does that mean to us tonight? Is your faith that of a grain of mustard seed tonight? We want to look at a particular part of that. In fact, that's the first word. Mustard seed faith is particular. Particular, that's the word. Let me pray and then we'll get started on the rest of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you, Lord, that thank you, Lord, that you can provide faith as we look to you, as we submit to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, help us to grow in faith even tonight. And may you get what you want out of us, Lord, that you would get the glory through all things said and done. And we look forward to what you have for us, not just tonight, Lord, but as we go from here, Lord, we want to have a growing and a deeper in faith type of Christian life so that you can have the tools and the servants that you deserve. We pray for your help tonight. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mustard seed faith. It is particular. Take a look at verse 16 again. Here it says, the man brought his son. He says, and I brought him, my son, to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Let me share with you, first of all, as we consider this, a Christian is capable of this faith, but one without Christ is still needs a different kind of faith. What is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 4. In fact, I've got some other passages if I could have some help. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Who would read Hebrews 11? And Daryl's got that. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Who would take that? All right, Kathy's going to read that. Thank you. Then we have Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Bob's got that. Then 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. All right, Leland, thank you. Let's hear from Hebrews chapter 11. Let's take a look, verse number 6. And here's what it says, verse number 6. Of course, the whole chapter is about faith and many men and women of the Bible, of history, who proved their faith in God. Here it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The faith that needs to start in a person's life is that faith for salvation. Before faith in Christ, Satan works to distract. Whoops, I skipped, didn't I? And I read your verse, didn't I, Daryl? I'm sorry. Let's hear from 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go there first. I'm sorry. We're all going to forget it in just a minute, so you can read it again for us, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 is where we will start. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, here we are. Verse 3 says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here's the thought as we consider a Christian. A Christian is capable of this faith, but number one, before faith in Christ, Satan works to distract and harden the minds, that's the blank, minds, from seeing the good news and light of Jesus Christ. Does that mean we should not even bother then trying to share Christ with somebody else? If you shared Christ or a tract with somebody this last week or month or year, was that a waste of your time? No, because that's how God continues to work on the hearts of people who need him, who need his son. And the Bible tells us, you don't know how the heart is going to react. I don't know how the heart's going to react any more than anybody else. But I know this, my responsibility and yours, take a look again in verse number 4, he says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. If we try to present something or someone other than Jesus, God says he wants us to remember it's about the Lord Jesus. It's about him. It's his story that we need to share. That's the light that can shine through that darkness that a mind needs to have. Satan works hard. He works 24/7. He does not take a day off. He does not leave and come back again. He's got many workers that deal with him. And a lot of his work is out and visible in front of us, wouldn't you say? You don't even have to necessarily think about it. Sometimes it's right out there in the open, and God is trying to reach minds. But the way he does it is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before faith, that's something that Satan tries to distract and harden the minds. Hebrews 11, verse 6, however, tells us, and Daryl, that's your turn. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you very much. Well, what does God say for those who are realizing this life can't be all there is? This can't be it. There's got to be something out there bigger than us, controlling stuff that's going around me, and I want to know who it is. Here's what God says: I will reward those who diligently seek me. Diligently means, the reward means to pay off, as if they worked hard to see what's going on. Is there something and someone out there? And God desires to reach all hearts, but the Bible says, indicates that he begins to reach, their eyes begin to see things as they seek the God who exists. Do we see that in the Bible? You ever heard a guy named Cornelius in the book of Acts, chapter 9? The Bible says he was a man of prayer. He was very devout in his prayer. In fact, he cared about the Jewish people. And God met with him because he was diligently seeking. And there's some other examples too. Biblical faith begins with believing God exists and that he rewards our search for him. Does that mean we're saved at that point? No, that takes us to the next point. Saving faith believes on Jesus alone to be saved from sin's penalty. Romans 6:23, if you know it, you can say it with me. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Saving faith believes on Jesus alone. Hey, praise God for our grandparents, and praise God for those friends and family and others who are, you know, godly people, but they didn't get you to heaven, and they're not going to. Only Jesus is going to get me to heaven. Amen? And same for all of us. Let's hear from some other passages about this, about God, Christ paying that penalty. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Okay, the Bible says we're bought with a price. What was the price? The shed blood, the death of a sacrifice, and Jesus being that sinless sacrifice. Hebrews 9, verse number 12.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Okay, thank you very much. He redeemed us, he paid off, he paid the price. He is our Savior. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. Okay, you may not have been able to hear that, but that is Timothy, right? Thank you for reading that, son. Timothy, Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, I am persuaded of the unfeigned faith. Unfeigned means not hypocritical. It's genuine. It's the real deal. He saw it in his grandmother. He saw it in his mother. And now Paul says, I'm convinced you have the same faith in Christ. But it had to be individual. His mama's grandmother couldn't give it to him, but they could show him what it was. And by God's grace, Timothy did. Saving faith believes on Jesus alone to be saved from sin's penalty. Why do we bring kids to church? Why do we teach them Bible stories and sing songs and talk to them about the Lord? Well, because they're automatically going to get saved if we do, right? It's not automatic, but it gives them opportunity. It's another opportunity to chip away at that blindness that Satan tries to keep in front of everybody's eyes who doesn't know the Lord. So let's continue to do it. Matthew 17, let's take a look. Matthew 17, let's go back there. We read it earlier, verses 17 through 20. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain. Notice what he said, not ye may, not it's possible, ye shall. That's interesting. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. A Christian with this faith, the faith of a mustard seed, believes God will work. God will work. John chapter 14, let's go there. John chapter 14. You believe God will work. I think everybody would say God can work. Amen? Yeah, it's possible, but you believe he will. You believe he will. Well, that's could be a difference. John chapter 14, let's take a look. Verses 8 to 14. And John 14, we know well, if you've ever been at a funeral, you've heard these verses likely. That's where the Bible talks about Jesus talking with his disciples, where he says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, he continues on, and take a look at verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I'm sorry, I started supposed to start in verse 8. Those are good verses too, though. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Lord, if you just show us some grandiose, fantastic, amazing scene, then we'll know you're the Son of God. Then we'll know we need to have faith in you. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than thee shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Interesting phrase there. He says in verse 12, the works that I do shall he do, that is the one who believes on him, and greater works than these shall he do. What could be greater than giving somebody sight or raising somebody from the dead? Which he did at least a couple of times, not including himself. Well, those people die again. Other than Jesus, those people will die again, and they did. But what's a greater work that we can see and share with them that would be greater than telling Wade Hoffman to come on up, get out of the bed, and he's fine again? What would be greater than that? Leading them to eternal life, having everlasting life, and receiving Christ as Savior. A Christian with this faith believes God will work. Do you believe that tonight? I think we'd all agree God can. But God says, I want you to have a faith and trust in me that I will, that I will. Has he proven it before? He has. Let's take a look at how we can access some of that. Matthew, let's go back to Matthew 17, take a look at verse 21. How do we access that kind of amazing faith and see God work? Jesus put it this way at the end of our passage in Matthew 17. Well, let me read verse 20, because that goes along with it too. Jesus saith unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. A Christian cultivates this faith by dedicating time at the throne of God in, what's the blank, folks, you know it, prayer. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. That's where we'll close before we pray. Hebrews 4. And we're looking at verse 14 to verse 16. Verses 14 to verse 16. It says, seeing then that ye have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have him, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The next few moments of our life can make a difference. It's more than just going down the list and making sure we hit everything. God says, will you have faith that I can do what you're asking? Will you put faith in me? We know what he can do. He's asking us to do, put faith in him to accomplish those things. So let's go do that. Let's go put faith in the Lord as we ask for things.